Your friend, the great sage Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa, has already described the transcendental qualities of the Lord in his great work, the Mahabharata. But the whole idea is to draw the attention of the mass of people to Krishna Katha, Bhagavad Gita, through their strong affinity for hearing mundane topics. Please repeat. Your friend, the great sage Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas, has already described the transcendental qualities of the Lord in his great work, the Mahabharata. But the whole idea is to draw the attention of the mass of people to Krishna Katha, the Bhagavad Gita, through their strong affinity for hearing mundane topics. Purport. The great sage Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas is the author of all Vedic literature, of which his works Vedanta Sutra, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Mahabharata are very popular readings. As stated in Bhagavatam 1.4.25, Srila Vyasadev compiled the Mahabharata for the less intelligent class of men who take more interest in mundane topics than in the philosophy of life. The Vedanta Sutra was compiled for persons already above the mundane topics, who might already have tasted the bitterness of the so-called happiness of mundane affairs. The first aphorism of Vedanta Sutra is Atato Brahma Jigyasa. That is, only when one has finished the business of mundane inquiries in the marketplace of sense gratification can one make relevant inquiries regarding Brahman, the transcendence. Those persons who are busy with the mundane inquiries which fill the newspapers and other such literatures are classified as Stri Sudra Dvija Bandhus, or women, the laborer class, and unworthy sons of the higher classes, Brahmana, Kshatriya, and Vaishya. Such less intelligent men cannot understand the purpose of Vedanta Sutra, although they make a show of studying the sutras in a perverted way. The real purpose of Vedanta Sutra is explained by the author himself in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And anyone trying to understand Vedanta Sutra without reference to Srimad Bhagavatam is certainly misguided. Such misguided persons who are interested in the mundane affairs of philanthropic and altruistic work under the misconception of the body as the self could better take advantage of the Mahabharata, which was specifically compiled by Srila Vyasadeva for their benefit. The great author has compiled the Mahabharata in such a way that the less intelligent class of men who are more interested in mundane topics may read the Mahabharata with great relish, and in the course of such mundane happiness can also take advantage of Bhagavad Gita, the preliminary study of Srimad Bhagavatam or the Vedanta Sutra. Srila Vyasadeva had no interest in writing a history of mundane activities other than to give less intelligent persons a chance for transcendental realization through Bhagavad Gita. Vidura's reference to the Mahabharata indicates that he had heard of the Mahabharata from Vyasadeva, his real father, while he was away from home and was touring the places of pilgrimage. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripata Maham Bande Shri Gurum Dinataranam. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Adishatarine. Nama Shrestam Manum Api Sachi Putra Matrasa Rupam Rupam Tasyagrajam Urupurim Maturim Goshtavatim Radhakunda Girivara Mahor Radhika Madhavasam Prapto yasya pratita kripaya shri gurum tam nato smi. Akshno falam tadrisha darshanam hita nor falam tadrisha gatra sangha Jiva Phalam Tadisha Kirtanam Hisudurlava Bhagavata Hiloke, Boncha Kalpatrubhascha, Kriposindu Bhaiva Champotitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavivyo Namo Namaha. Munir Vivakshur Bhagavad Gunanam Sakapi Te Bharatam Aha Krishna Yasmin Nrinam Gramya Sukhanu Vadair Matir Grihita Nuhare Kathayam. Your friend, the great sage Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas, has already described the transcendental qualities of the Lord in his great work, the Mahabharata. But the whole idea is to draw the attention of the mass of people to Krishna Katha, Bhagavad Gita, through their strong affinity for hearing mundane topics. So many times during this chapter, we're being told the same thing. The same point is being stressed about the value of Krishna Katha. The value of Krishna Katha. And the thought is there, being presented constantly. How one who engages in Shravanam Kirtanam of Krishna Katha, Shravanam Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pada Sevanam. Those who engage in this, in these activities of Shravanam Kirtanam, Krishna Katha, they are never satiated. This point is being presented. And Srila Prabhupada, whenever he speaks about this, he immediately draws our attention to the fact that we all have experienced that mundane literature, mundane talks, mundane katha, the word is being presented here, we have heard so many times, gramya katha, there are two things. So there is a gramya katha and there is Krishna katha. In particular ourselves, we have experience of both things. And Srila Prabhupada draws our attention to the fact, just like in one of the purports in this chapter, previously read, Prabhupada says how, for example, the newspapers, you can only read them for like an hour, and then they become trash. Then you trash them. So it's like that. Actually, they're made, the newspapers are made in such a way that, you know, very cheap paper. And then the people use that same paper for so many other things. So many other things. Because it actually, we were thinking that very easily, I don't know, it won't surprise me that one day, and something like this could happen in America, especially of all places, that one day they'll just, you know, repeat the newspaper, the edition, the newspaper some other day and just change the date. And it's always the same, meaning that it's always the same. Prabhupada has described this in our famous statement, especially in ISKCON, the puna puna charvita charvananas, punas punas charvita charvananam. How constantly this very nice idea that we have learned from Srila Prabhupada and from the Bhagavatam, we never thought of it before, of chewing the chewed, this idea of chewing the chewed. So it is a fact. And that we all have this experience that actually the topic is always the same thing. It's always the same thing. What's happening? It's like in America they expressed it in two words, sex and violence. So we kind of have the same thing actually in the Krishna Katha. Actually. Therefore we say perverted reflection. Perverted reflection. And some people become bewildered at the fact of the violence. Just like today stress is being given to the Bhagavad Gita within the Mahabharata. And Bhagavad Gita means the talk within a war. So people become bewildered because they identify us. Of course, India is mostly identified probably because of the activities and life of Gandhi. Mostly identified with Ahimsa. And not only because of Gandhi, but somehow or other the sages and the stories of India and what people consider mythology, always the idea people have about India and sages is a very peaceful, secluded sages. And the last they want to relate us, you know, connect us with, is with violence, with himsa instead of ahimsa. Of course, we have a different definition of violence and nonviolence. And in this context, violence means gramya kata, and nonviolence means Krishna kata. Because real violence, it all depends on what is real good and what is real bad. That's precisely the definition we need to understand. It's always the confrontation. It's always the problem. The problem is to understand this. What is good and what is bad? So Srila Prabhupada has given us a complete different understanding of good and bad. What is real good and what is really bad. And we are so fortunate, over and over we relish our fortune given to us by Srila Prabhupada. Not so much of any material things, because actually even materially, this is the power of this spiritual Krishna consciousness movement, that it even solves the material problems. And we all have experienced that. If we think, even if we think that we're struggling materially in Krishna consciousness, especially grihasthas these days, they especially feel the pinch, that it is so difficult to maintain the family. And, you know, so many grihasthas were trained as nice brahmacharis, they remember, they reminisce the times when they were in the ashram and they didn't have to worry about so many things, thinking that they had to go out and look for a job. And it's been shocking these days. Rude awakenings, you have that expression, to many. that somehow or other, and actually Prabhupada mentioned this several times, he wanted his grihasthas to be examples in the ordinary world, how you can be out there and still be a grihastha and not a grihamedi, and give an example. Mahabharata, and the whole topic of Mahabharata being brought about today in this text and elsewhere in Prabhupada's teachings, is precisely to indicate that a devotee, this is the meaning of Mahabharata, that a devotee is a regular person, a real, just like in previous text it was mentioned, a real civilized human being. And the devotee has all the needs, all the feelings of any civilized human being, but that word civilized has to be stressed. And what is the meaning of civilized? And civilized means that he obeys the superior authority of God, of Krishna. That is finally what is civilized. That's the difference between civilized and uncivilized. Uncivilized means that there is no rule or order. That it is only, there is no superior rule or order. So a devotee, he accepts the supreme ruling of Krishna. But the difference is, this is what makes the difference between a Vaishnava and ISKCON devotee and any other devotee of God. There are many devotees of God, or purported devotees of God. So what is the difference? That the Vaishnavas, they prove their surrender to God. They prove their surrender to God, whereas other people, their surrender to God is a mental speculation. It is never proven. But the proof of the surrender to God is that you hear directly, you can receive directly the instruction of God, Krishna, and then see if you obey it or not. And that is the importance of the Bhagavat devotee. Just there is the Granta Bhagavat, Granta, the book Bhagavata. And then there is the Bhakta Bhagavata, the devotee Bhagavata. So both are needed, but in particular, so each one of them has its gunas and lakshanam, its qualities, their qualities. So the devotee, there is a type of exchange with the devotee Bhagavat, and there is a type of exchange with the book Bhagavat. And both exchanges are necessary. And Srila Prabhupada always expressed to us the importance of this. Just recently I was hearing once again his typical example that you cannot become a medical practitioner at home buying the books from the bookstore or reading them at the library, and then you become a medical doctor. And anyway, we always point out this. You can just imagine putting yourself for an operation in the hands of someone who majored at home as a doctor. So both exchanges are necessary, are needed. There is a type of relationship with the book, and there is a type of relationship with the person, Bhagavat. What Prabhupada called always the representative of Krishna. So the Krishna Katha is invariably related always to the representative, to the person who is presenting it. Therefore, we are not impersonalists. On all levels, this goes on all levels, how we are not impersonalists. It's incredible how the scope of this statement that we are personalists instead of impersonalists. That we value very much the person. Krishna as a person, and we value very much the devotee, the person devotee. We just don't take it for granted. Therefore, just like this text, that we all, this mantra, very nice shloka from Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, we mentioned, you find in the first book of that puja book, Archana Padati, we found this for the first time, this text. Nama Shrestha Manuma Pish Sachi Putra Matrasa Rupam, that Archa Padati. That Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, whenever we think of this verse, this is from a book called Mukta Charita by Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. And we always think this verse, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, he says, he's expressing his, paying his obeisances to his spiritual master and saying that by his grace he has received all the important, he has come to know of everything in spiritual life, the holy name of the Lord Himself, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and His associates, the spiritual holy places, places of pilgrimage, including Radha Kunda. So He has received everything by the mercy of His spiritual master. So we always think that how much more if Raghunath Das Goswami, actually Raghunath Das Goswami being in India, in Bharatavarsha, somehow or other He could have come across with these things. It could be thought that somehow or other he could have come across in his life with Radha Kunda and the holy name in India. Like Prabhupada says, in India everybody is naturally Krishna conscious because they've all heard the Krishna pastimes. I remember the first time I went to India, the first place I arrived was Calcutta. And it was incredible to go out, as soon as we go out of the airport, and I was driving to the temple from the airport, and the first thing I see is this big billboard. And the billboard was Krishna stealing the saris of the gopis. That famous Bastra Hari. The famous pastime Bastra Hari. And Jana Bastra Hari. So, and what did it say? So this big billboard immediately reminded you of the pastime of Krishna stealing the garments of the gopis. And then what it was a propaganda that this particular store, they claimed that those saris were from their store. So they were, actually you can take the hint, so as for our store here. So it was, you know, we may question that use of this story, but it just goes to show, aside from, you know, any questioning we may make about using like that, Krishna's pastimes. But the fact is, it goes to support Srila Prabhupada's statements that people are all Krishna, naturally Krishna conscious there. So we, but still, Raghunath Das Goswami, he felt, you know, how important it was, how by the mercy of his spiritual master he has been connected to all the spiritual elements, such so many spiritual elements and personalities. Now, how much more should we feel indebted to Srila Prabhupada and to the devotees, that definitely there was no way for us to come across these elements except for the fact that in the way we have received them by the grace of Srila Prabhupada and his disciples and followers. So this fact is mentioned in so many texts, so very briefly, about this Krishna Katha. Actually, we want to stress the importance of Krishna Katha as it is being stressed in these texts of Bhagavatam and all over Srila Prabhupada's teachings. Yesterday, Bhakti Bhushana Maharaj also very nicely stressed this point. The importance of Krishna Katha versus, in contrast with the Gramya Katha, mundane topics. And in the famous conversation between Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it was a turning point in their conversation and in their relationship, actually, when Ramananda Roy was massaging the Lord, when finally he was able to get the darshan of the Lord by dressing as a simple Vaishnava. So anyway, in their relationship, when Ramananda Roy mentioned this verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became specially excited. Actually, I happened to listen to the rendering of Amala Bhakta Prabhu on this part, and Amala Bhakta Prabhu gets also very excited, saying, "You are the most munificent! You are the most munificent!" Comes from this text. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was like that, exclaiming at Ramananda Roy. Famous verses from 10th canto, Tava Katam Ritam Tapta Jivanam. So Katam Ritam, the nectar of the Kata. Kavibir Iditam Kalma Sapaham Shravana Mangalam Srimad Atatam Bhuvi Grinantiye Burida Janaha. Burida Janaha means the most munificent. So the translation, this is from 10th canto, and Prabhupada quotes it here in Chaitanya Charitamrita, actually Kaviraj Goswami is quoting. Prabhupada says, and the purport is from 10th canto. The translation reads, "My Lord, the nectar of your words and the descriptions of your activities are the life and soul of those who are always aggrieved in this material world. These narrations are transmitted by exalted personalities and they eradicate all sinful reactions. Whoever hears these narrations attains all good fortune. These narrations are broadcast all over the world and are filled with spiritual power. Those who spread the message of Godhead are certainly the most munificent welfare workers." So this is very nice because it actually describes our Sankirtan activities, especially in the manner of distributing the Krishna Katha as it has been presented by Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada mentioned how there were so many translations of the Gita before his, but not one of them was able to make a pure devotee. And, you know, you should know there are also translations of the Bhagavatam. You go to the Los Angeles library, the UCLA library, you'd be surprised to find there books by Jiva Goswami that we don't even have, we haven't even read, probably haven't even heard about, and in English, and others, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, like that. And they've been there for many, many years, in many places, even before our Krishna conscious ISKCON movement. But still we see they didn't create any waves. There was no impression created. But the presentation by Srila Prabhupada, this particular way of presenting it, just like in Bhagavad Gita, he has explained how he has placed the word electricity in one of the texts, and this has created some controversy. Na shashanka, na pavaka, that famous verse, Prabhupada has mentioned the word, there's no electricity. No need of electricity in the spiritual world. So this particular way of presenting the Krishna Katha is very important for us in this day and age. Anyway, in Bhagavad Gita there is a similar text to the text we hear in Srimad Bhagavatam. We will end just by reading this text and purport that very well round up this subject matter of never being satiated. With the Krishna Katha topics. The verse is in chapter 10, text 18. Bistare natmano yogam vibhutim cha janardana bhuya kathaya triptirhi shrinbato nasti me mritam amrita. O Janardan, again please describe in detail the mystic power of your opulences. I am never satiated in hearing about you, for the more I hear, the more I want to taste the nectar of your words. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. A similar statement was made to Suta Goswami by the rishis of Naimisharanya, headed by Shonaka. That statement is, Vayam tu na vitri pyatma utama shloka vikrame yachrim vatam rasa gyanam swadu swadu pade pade. One can never be satiated even though one continuously hears the transcendental pastimes of Krishna, who is glorified by excellent prayers. Those who have entered into a transcendental relationship with Krishna relish at every step the descriptions of the pastimes of the Lord. That's from Srimad Bhagavatam. Thus Arjuna is interested in hearing about Krishna and specifically how he remains as the all-pervading Supreme Lord. Now as far as Amritam, nectar, is concerned, any narration or statement concerning Krishna is just like nectar. And this nectar can be perceived by practical experience. Modern stories, fiction and histories are different from the transcendental pastimes of the Lord in that one will tire of hearing mundane stories, but one never tires of hearing about Krishna. It is for this reason only that the history of the whole universe is replete with references to the pastimes of the incarnations of Godhead. The Puranas are histories of bygone ages that relate the pastimes of the various incarnations of the Lord. In this way, the reading matter remains forever fresh, despite repeated readings. So if there's any comment or question. This is a very important point about Mahabharata that is being presented here. It sounds like Gramya Katha. It is very important because like yesterday, In yesterday's purport, Srila Prabhupada says that Krishna Katha is so powerful that simply by entering into a person's ear, it can at once give deliverance from the bondage of family affection. And I was thinking, as Maharaj was lecturing yesterday and explaining the importance of this Krishna Katha, as we was also trying to stress today, that actually the purpose of this Krishna Katha is to give deliverance from the bondage of family affection. But we just imagine what is our situation that in truth, to certain extent, we first have to have people become attached to family situation. We first have to train them, try to get them. This is the same thing that is happening here, what has been explained of the importance of Mahabharata. Just to be able to go to the next step. Mm-hmm. So in the same way, this ISKCON movement in particular, and that this is the meaning of instituting Varnashram that we're always so worried about, because we know we have received that instruction, we know that this is one of our duties to institute Varnashram. And Varnashram, finally, what it means is just civilized life. Mm-hmm. That first people may get married and become attached to family life, and then we can have them, you know, become detached. Uh-huh. But nowadays we see this conception of family life is deteriorating so much. So it is very difficult to preach truly. It is very difficult to really get spiritual life going in the life of people because while people They're not following any kind of principles of civilized human life. It is very difficult to have spiritual life. There is no possibility. Yeah, there is no possibility. So this Sankirtan movement is very special in the manner in which it has been presented by Srila Prabhupada, because it makes it possible. It makes it possible that people, by joining this Krishna consciousness movement, they start thinking that, gee, it is possible to follow some principles. It is possible to give up smoking and drug taking and meat eating and all these things. It is possible. It is possible to change one's life. Thanks to Srila Prabhupada and the way he has presented this movement, especially, as I mentioned the other day, also, you know, just coming back from India, and seeing the real oasis that these temples represent, spiritual oasis, that they're really spiritual oasis in the midst of all these